We're going to connect with last week's lesson in a roundabout way. We talked about God can, the ability of God. You'll never get healing believing His ability. If you need money, there's a lot of people that have the ability. You don't know if they're going to give it to you or not. You have to know more than ability. You have to know God's willingness. Will He? And then it's more than His willingness. It's His strong desire, His want to, which is His compassion, and the fact that He already did something about your healing and health. And that's what I want to go back to, is that God did. Now look at Isaiah 53. I know you're like me, you've been out of English a long time, but you remember past, present, and future tense. A lot of things God has done already, He puts in the past tense. You know, if you have a locker at a train station, you see that on TV, they have lockers, you have a locker at the gym, you put things in that locker, somebody's got to have the key to open that locker. That locker is, it's got your stuff in it, but nobody opens it unless they have the key. Now, we found a key to a safety deposit box in Daddy's desk after he died. Well, I called my sister and she said, I don't know. My brother, he didn't know. Well, we go down to the bank and they say you have to have two keys. We wouldn't have but one key, so they wouldn't let us in. So, if there's no key, two keys, you don't get in. Well, we could pay a locksmith and pay a fee. Knowing Daddy like I did, I thought, that thing is empty. You know, if you offer Daddy, anything free, he's going to take it, my sister said. And I was thinking the same. She said, oh, there's nothing in that locker. I thought, that's what I thought. So, you want to pay $150 to open the locker? She said, oh, let's forget it. So, we forgot it. But God put some things in the locker for you. And He left you to unlock them. And when He did that, He put it in the Word. He put it in the past tense, yesterday. There were some things done yesterday, things done 2,000 years ago. Our problem with healing is we put everything in tomorrow. And what you put in tomorrow that isn't birthed by yesterday is not working for you. Did you know that? What you put in tomorrow that wasn't birthed by yesterday is not working. Now I want you to pay particular to the past tense. That's the yesterday tense. Look at verse 4. Surely He hath borne our grief, sickness, weakness, and distress. Surely He hath borne, that's past tense. That means that's already done. That's past tense. And carried our sorrows, that's also past tense. That means yesterday He borne, yesterday He carried. Now if you look at verse 5, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. With His stripes, we are healed. Now, it goes from past tense to we are healed, which is present tense. He was wounded. He was wounded. That's yesterday. That's yesterday. Was bruised. That's yesterday. Chastisement or the punishment necessary for our peace was, that's yesterday. With His stripes. Now, when were those stripes administered? Not tomorrow. See, we're not looking for tomorrow. You know, when they pray for somebody to be saved, they say, Lord, save Mabel, save Mabel, save Mabel. You know, that prayer's never going to be answered. God did save her. She don't know it. You're asking God to do something. He's already done all He can do about salvation. He's placed it there for her reception. She either doesn't know about it or she's refused it. And the problem is, let's make Maple receptive. Let's churn in Maple's heart until she reaches out for the gospel, until she wants more than she has already. And Lord, save Mabel. It works just about as well as Lord, heal Mabel. Because this is healing. This is freedom from sin. And it was yesterday. It was yesterday. Now, anytime we receive from heaven, we got to look at yesterday. We've got to look at what happened yesterday. He was healed. And then it says, we are healed. We are healed today because of what was done yesterday. Yesterday's sacrifice brings today's victory. We are healed after we know that the work was done yesterday, was wounded, was bruised, was chastened. So we are today. What you get today, the victory you get today, is because you understand and you've got your eyes totally focused on yesterday. Now, you have in Numbers 21, I believe it is, where the people were sick, got bit by snakes, and God said, built a snake on a pole and everybody it looks will live. Well, if you've got snakes all around your feet and the camp was full of snakes, and you're looking at the pole, you know the temptation is going to be to kind of lower your eyes and see where the snakes are. But God said you've got to look at the pole. And it's not just a casual glance. You got to stare at that pole. Keep your eyes on that pole. See, that's the promise of God. And so we're going to fulfill the promise of God, and then we're going to receive the blessing of God. And so we're going to have to stare at yesterday. We're going to have to absorb yesterday. We're going to find out what happened yesterday, what was done yesterday. We're going to have to look behind us all the time and say, that's done. See, yesterday's past. You know you don't get any redos. I know you, like me, have some things you'd like to do different. And I don't know why the things you did successfully never occur to you. It's all the things that you would like to correct and do different. Those things come up all the time. You think, oh, should have done that. Should have been better than that. Well, we're going to stare at yesterday because yesterday is going to bring us to today, and today is going to bring us to tomorrow. Now, tomorrow is the actual physical manifestation. Today is your stand of faith. Because you know what's done yesterday, today you're standing in faith. Today. You can stand in faith when you spend your time meditating and looking at the price that was paid yesterday. Now, look at Matthew 8. Let's see another past tense. I'll show you several because the scripture is prolific with the past tense. What Jesus did was done already. It was done yesterday. We're not asking him to heal us. We're standing in faith that the healing has been purchased and paid for, and we have it. 8:17, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took. It doesn't say he will take or he will bear. So he took him. It's already done. It doesn't say he will be wounded or he will be bruised. He will be chastened. It says he was. He was bruised. He was chastened. He did take. He did bear. And when we have a dilemma, we are prone to base our confession on our desire on the future, not on the past, and say, I know God is able. Well, so is Rockefeller. He's not coming. And your favorite TV star, you know, the one that does these marvelous feats of brings people to victory, he's not coming. You see, if you're waiting on Magnum, he's not coming. Y'all remember Magnum? He's not coming. Well, your favorite TV preacher's not coming. But yesterday, some things were done for you. Yesterday, some things were put in a locker for you. And all you have to do is open that locker with your faith and continue to stare at yesterday. And yesterday brings you to a strong stand of faith today. Your only responsibility today and now is to stand in faith without compromise. If you stand in faith without compromise, the day of reception, the day of manifestation, tomorrow it will come. Now, tomorrow could be 5 minutes from your stand of faith. It could be 5 years from your stand of faith. We're not responsible. God's in charge of timing. Now, look at 1 Peter 2. Let me show it to you again. Yesterday's sacrifice, today's stand of faith, brings tomorrow's reception of our need. And to stare at tomorrow is going to be a waste of your time. Stare at yesterday. Keep your faith steadfast and unmovable by staring at yesterday. Who his own self, verse 24, bear our bodies in his own body, bear our sins in his own body on the tree. You think I learned to read. That we being dead to sin should live in righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. That's past tense, isn't it? That's looking behind you at yesterday. You were healed. When were you healed?
Yesterday.
Sometime yesterday. Sometime in the past. Were. It's past tense. Look at Ephesians 1. Let me show it to you again. People who keep saying, well, I'm going to be healed, God's going to heal me, are looking strictly at tomorrow, strictly at the future. And by looking at the future, you thwart the steadfast faith that comes from believing the promises of the past. You see that, don't you? You got to look behind you. You got to look at the past. You got to look at the were's and the was's and find out what was done and what was done for you. Now look at chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. It doesn't say he will bless us. I know God's going to bless me. No, it says he did. He hath blessed us. It's already done. With all spiritual blessings. Now, all spiritual blessings is all spiritual blessings that the spirit world can provide. And that's pretty broad. That just includes, he's already blessed you. But look at verse 4. According, he has chosen us. Doesn't say he will choose you. He already did. He predestined us unto the adoption of children, verse 5. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption. There's no will in there. And wherein we hath abounded, he hath abounded toward us. Abounded or rushed toward us in wisdom. That's why it doesn't say we can have the mind of Christ or we will have the mind of Christ. What does it say? It says we have it. It's not that I'm aware of my mind of Christ. It's that I know it's a promise. Yesterday, God promised. Yesterday, he said I had it. If he said I had it, then I have it. So today, I'm standing in faith for something I need to know. And I said, thank God I have the mind of Christ. And see, it's by standing in faith that tomorrow comes. Tomorrow doesn't come while you're looking at tomorrow. Tomorrow comes when you're looking at yesterday. And when yesterday breeds the faith. You know, Wayne's dad was a farmer, and every now and then they'd have seed left over from the year before. Well, sometimes that works and sometimes that doesn't. They keep it in the freezer because that preserves the seed, and it should come up the next year. But when they do that, he'll go down. I've watched him many times dig out the seed, and the first couple seeds, he wants to make sure that those seeds are actually sprouting because they were left over from the year before. He doesn't want to waste his time or his garden space, you see. He's expecting a harvest, but he's not looking at the harvest. He's not looking. Silver Queen corn takes 92 days, but he's not looking at the harvest. He's looking at the seed. Make sure the seed is working. You've got no problem with the eternal seed of the Word of God. It is working. And it's working in me because I keep looking at it and looking at it. I'm glancing at it. I'm staring at it. I'm observing it carefully. I don't think I'll say that. You know, they talk about, I don't know anything about hunting. I don't like hunting. And when we go to the mountains, they sold our mountain house, and I'm glad they did because they needed to sell it. But we'd been there for years as a guest of the family, and it's a preserved area, so you're not allowed to kill the animals, and so the deers will be right in the front yard, you know, and they'll just stand there. You've heard the expression, like a deer in the headlight? They just stand there and eyes big and just stare like, what are you doing in my preservation? And that's what we have to do. Just take the promise of God and just look and look and look. Say, by his stripes we were. Jesus said we were. God said we were. God said he was wounded. That was yesterday. He was bruised. That was yesterday. And I'm looking at yesterday. And every time I keep looking at yesterday, my faith for today gets bigger and bigger. So this is a confidence we have in him. Well, that's the way you get confidence, is go to the promise. And believe the promise. You can't believe the promise if you don't know the promise. And it's not because you read it one time. It's because you read it over and over and over again. Meditation is like camping. Or like what, looking at a fish tank. You know how people look at a fireplace or a fish tank? They just go, I could do that myself. It's the ocean, you know. We just pull up a chair and look at the water like, I am not going to get in the water. You can forget it. I don't like to be wet. Don't like my hair messed up. But I can sure, I mean, you can just stare. And there's something about staring at the promises. Looking at what was, what has been already provided, what God said was coming. And just stare and stare and go, that's what mothers do at their new baby. You know, and you're trying to be nice. You know, you're the guest, and you know you've stared for 5 minutes. You think that ought to be sufficient, unless you're the grandmother or something. You know, you think, I say, oh, beautiful baby. Well, if that's not true, I say, my, she's at peace today. Or you know, you have to say something. I cannot tell a lie, but I do like to say something nice. And 5 minutes, and they want you to hold the baby. That's not necessary for me, but I held the baby because it was necessary for them for me to hold it. So I held the baby, and after all, I think, okay. Your baby. Take your baby. This is wonderful. I'm having a great time. You take the baby. Well, we have little nieces and nephews, and once in an emergency, Wayne and I got called to come babysit. They had a real emergency, and my sister's the emergency person. She was not available. It's really sad. And so Wayne and I went. Well, they said he's taking his nap right now. I thought, yes. But you know what? He got up. I was absolutely amazed. He had this book. Can't remember the name of it. It was white, and everything in the book was orange and black. Everything, the whole book, Orange and Black. He had a lot of books. He always went back to that one. It was something about the layout, the colors or something, and he'd look at that page, and look, he's just little. He'd look at that page, he'd look at that page, and look at that page. And I'd read that page, and we'd go to this page, he'd go back to this page. You know, I said, this is your favorite page, isn't it? And we have this nice book, and I said, let's read this book about the truck. He loves trucks. We looked at the truck briefly, very, very briefly, and we go back. See, there's some promise in the book that happened yesterday, something about yesterday, something about the wounds past and the bruise past and the stripes already done and the blessings already provided and the wisdom that's already mine that causes me to stare and it causes my faith and my confidence to be bolstered and go higher and higher and higher and higher. You see that, don't you? Well, it says you not only have wisdom, but look at verse 11, whom we also have obtained an inheritance. It doesn't say you will inherit anything. I know God's going to. No, he already did. There's no going to in these verses. He's not going to give you wisdom. He's not going to give you inheritance. He's not going to redeem you. He's not going to heal you. Yesterday, he did it. It's done. He did it. He said, keep your vision there. Stare at that. And when you stare at that, it says, cast not away your confidence. That's how you get more and more confidence, and you don't get, you know, when you cast something away, you know, usually it's something I really wanted, and I accidentally threw it out. Wayne and I more than once gone to the garbage. You done that hunting something? Wayne says, where's that receipt for the? And I'm really good at saving receipts, but the one he wanted I threw out. I thought to myself, I think I threw that out. So we're out in the garbage, you know, going through the garbage. Because we got to have this. And you've got to have your word. You've got to have your verse. Put it on the refrigerator. Put it on the mirror. Put it by your favorite chair. Keep your Bible open. One fellow had a favorite scripture he was meditating in. You stare at it. Stare at yesterday. Don't stare at tomorrow. It's not here. Forget it. It's not coming today. He said he just kept his Bible open to that, and everything he did, he'd go by and read that two or three verses again. And he'd go do whatever he had to do, and he'd come by and look and read those verses again. It's absolutely amazing. One person was totally healed of worry and confusion. That she took the advice of the pastor, and he said, open your Bible and don't worry about anything. Keep it by your bedside. Every time you wake up afraid, get out of bed, get on your knees, and read that verse. She said, first night, she's on her knees most of the night. She'd get up, she'd go to sleep, and then she'd wake up afraid. Well, she took his advice. See, honestly, we want to be easier than that, don't we? It isn't. That's as easy as it gets. You can read. That's pretty easy. Can you read? But the day came when slept all night. Day came and only got up once and read that verse. You know, 3 or 4 in the morning, heard something like, what is that? And she got up and read that verse. Don't worry about anything, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. She'd raise her hands in thanksgiving. You got to obey the word. Begin to praise God. Begin to calm down, get back in bed. The day came when she didn't have to do that anymore. But she stared. She kept it for her eyes. What God has done yesterday. He's not going to heal you tomorrow. He isn't here except in spirit. And he isn't going to heal you tomorrow. What you get tomorrow, it is going to happen tomorrow. What you get tomorrow is a result of the faith that you established today by staring in the promises of yesterday. Is that so simple? I just love that. Well, let's look at 2 Peter and let's see it again. We used to sing that, yesterday he died for me. Yesterday, yesterday, you know that one? Yesterday he died for me yesterday. 50s and 60s was maybe an era of repetitive music, but it grabbed your heart and you got the message. I did anyway, I was there. Verse 3. According to his divine power, will give us all things. Does it say will give us? What does it say? It doesn't say will give us. What does it say? Hath given us. He's already given it to you. He's already given it to you. All things pertaining to life and godliness. Well, now that's really big. All things pertaining to life and godliness. Anything you need to live life successfully and walk in holiness and godliness with your Father has already been provided for you. It has already been given to you. Now, my grandmother hid money. You just know. And when they cleaned out Granny's house after she was gone, they looked at my mama, too. She taught my mama that. We have people, they just hide money. I put mine in the bank. Don't come to my house looking for money. They were taking apart a picture frame. One of the nieces wanted that particular picture, but she didn't want the frame, and money fell out from behind the picture. I mean, she's put money everywhere. Just everywhere. Every time I look at that picture, behind that picture was all that money. God said, there's something behind my word if you just keep looking at it. Keep looking at it. Keep looking at it. Say, yesterday, 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 yesterday. The only thing he asked me today is to believe, is to stand and believe, is to stand and stare, is to stand and allow my faith to get higher and higher and cast not away. And we'll talk about that some next week. Your confidence. There's some reasons that we get discouraged and cast away our confidence. The impossibility of faith, the impossibility of the natural situation does not affect my faith. The impossibility of nature, of the situation, of the circumstances does not cause me to waver. It does not affect my faith. The promise of God is true. And you know God is real big. If he opened the Red Sea, he can fix your problem. He put three people in the fire furnace. Actually, the king put them in there. God brought them out whole without the smell of smoke. Kept people in the wilderness 40 years and they didn't ever need a new pair of shoes. Well, how sad is that? I love shoes. I said, if I ever have any money, I don't know how you were raised. I didn't know we were poor until after I took charge of my daddy's finances and shredded his old records, income tax records, and I thought, we were really poor. We had a pair of church shoes and a pair of school shoes, and that's all we ever had. That's all we ever had. And you sure better not grow out of them before the end of the year. And I remember our neighbor, I remember the first tennis shoes I ever saw. Do you know tennis shoes were not eternal? They had not been here forever. And she had several different Ked type tennis shoes of different colors, and I just went, talking about staring at something. I thought, she had a green pair, and I thought, would that be living? Really living? Staring at her shoes. I still remember her name. Staring at those shoes. I thought, here'd she come. I thought, that's a blue pair. Yesterday's pair was green. Then down the street was this, you know, crinolines were the rage. Oh, yeah. And your skirt was supposed to stick out this high. Well, we didn't have enough money. We didn't have any crinolines. We didn't have any money to buy crinolines. You're lucky to have a dress. And here she come with those crinolines swishing and swishing and swishing and her skirt sticking out about that. And I'd go, you know how to stare. I'm trying to convince you. You know how to stare at something. You know I was looking back to see if he was looking back to see if I was looking back to see if he was looking back at me. He was cute as he could be, riding in his Model T, and it was plain to see. I'd enjoy his company. He was staring at him. And he was staring at her to see if she was staring at him. The truth is, I only know 3 or 4 secular songs. That just happens to be one I know. We weren't allowed that in our house, but the girl down the street had some records. And every now and then, they'd let me go visit her. I didn't get to stay too long, and so I didn't learn but 2 or 3 songs, but she was into that sort of thing. You know the era of Purple People Eater? Yeah. I don't even know what the song was about. Don't have a clue. But see, if I'd spent some time instead of staring at my shoes and staring at my TV, you know, and staring at your refrigerator, you open the door. And you look, it's just not in there. You close her. One man, he opened his refrigerator door so many times, his wife rebuked him. She said, why do you keep opening the refrigerator door? He said, every time, honey, I open that door, I lower my standard. He figured eventually something that in the beginning he wasn't going to eat, you know, now he's going to eat. And he's just staring. Just staring. Well, how much better to stare at by his stripes? You were, not you're going to be, you were. It's not going to, it happens tomorrow because you believe it was organized, set in place yesterday. And today, the only thing I'm doing today is believing in yesterday. And suddenly I get up and it's all over. It's amazing. I had this spot on my leg. It got uglier and uglier and uglier. Uglier and uglier and uglier. So I called. I have a doctor. And I called and talked to whoever answered the telephone and described it to her. And she said, I'll get you right in. You need a dermatologist. And so I went. I've never seen anything so ugly. And she said, oh, your skin ages. It's okay. You're okay. I went. And that wasn't the news I wanted to hear. So I had bronchitis, and the doctor said, how long has that been there? What is that? And then I went for my yearly physical, and the doctor said, what is that? How long has that been here? But they already told me it was nothing. Do you know, I kind of forgot about it. It's the ugliest nothing you've ever seen in your life. And the other night, I looked down. I happened to look down at my leg, and it's gone. I said, Wayne! I said, what leg was that on? I thought, maybe I'm totally confused. He said, it was on your right leg, just above your ankle. I thought, well, it's not there. See, and that's what happens tomorrow. Tomorrow comes if you keep your heart and your mind on yesterday. I had in my mind, she said it was nothing. I'm going to tell you, it didn't look like nothing. And everybody that saw it said, "What is that?" Well, let's look at Abraham. Put your finger in Romans 4 and in Genesis 17. Start with Genesis 17. You're going to see both things here. It's very important. God appeared to Abraham. Abraham's 99 years old. Now, the first time God told Abraham he'd be the father of a great nation, he was just 75. So for 24 years, he has held on to the promise. 24 years. 24 years. You got that. You think you've waited a long time. 99, God came to remind him. He said to Abraham, he talked with him, verse 3. He said, verse 4, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shall be. That's future tense. He said, you shall be the father of great. Okay, that's tomorrow. But look what he says. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. You shall be tomorrow, because I made it happen in the spirit today. The only reason he shall be is because God said, I already made it so. I made it so. You're our father. He wasn't the father of a multitude. He didn't even have one little tude. He didn't have anything. But he had God's promise. Now look at Romans 4. He had God's promise. God said, I made it. I made it. I made it. I made it. I made you a father. I made you a father. He didn't say, I will make you. He said, you shall be a father because I made you one. You shall be healed because he healed you already. Shh. I studied all day yesterday. Can y'all tell that? I mean after church. I was in church. Verse 17. Here's a quote in Genesis. As it's written, I have made thee a father. I made you a father. Before, which is the word like him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead, and cause those things which be not as though they were. Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. He believed in hope that he might become. See, he believed in that he was made. That's what we do today. Today we believe. Today we hear from yesterday and we believe. God came yesterday and he said, I made you a father. Well, it didn't happen that day. It didn't happen the next day. It didn't happen. Abraham was almost 100 before it happened. All that time. He could hear the voice of God say, I made you a father. 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 And said, so he held on to that hope. He believed it. He just kept believing it. See, faith doesn't require physical evidence. Then he said, verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God. You can imagine, as old as he was, and Sarah was 90, those aren't prime childbearing years, as you know. I'll tell you why. I looked that up. We studied it out. Why God waited so long. And I don't know why God waited so long. You know, he hasn't discussed it with me. But if you check medical records, there were some very old women who bore children. And I think God was waiting until you couldn't say it might have happened anyway. And you check the statistics on your computer and you will be surprised at how old some of them were. And I think just my theory based upon no facts of scripture, I just believe God waited until you couldn't say that might have happened.
Yeah, exactly.
And there could have been other reasons. Now see, staggered not. The word stagger is the word waver. A drunk man staggers. He's not secure. He's not sure. Staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. You see, he kept that promise of God before his eyes. Yesterday, God said, I've made you. I've made you a father. I've made you a father. He didn't stagger. He didn't get off of that. He didn't waver from that. He didn't turn loose of that. He said, God made me a father. And that's why God changed his name to help him shore up his faith. Abram means father of exalted father, high father, and Abraham means father of a great father, a father of a multitude. And God made that little change. And actually, if you look at what the Hebrew, Abram, what God did, he put the symbol, Abra, the symbol of God, the H, Yah, in the middle of his name. He infused himself in the name. You know what God is in the Hebrew? It's Y-A-H or J-A-H. And what God did was put himself in the middle of the name for Abraham to hold fast to what God said. Your father. He didn't look like a father. He didn't feel like a father, I'm sure. And then it says, verse 21, being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was able also to perform. See, he didn't have the performance. He said he was able to perform. He didn't have the performance of it. You're not in charge of the performance. You're in charge of faith in the performance, to believe. The performance is God's responsibility. He is going to perform it. He is going to do it. It will happen. But it won't happen if all you're doing is looking at the will happen. It happens because you have the promise. And you have, I write in other tongues, you have the promise and the provision. And you're looking behind you all the time saying, I believe that. 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 That's how Isaac was born. Long before. You see, if you look behind you long enough, you are going to see yourself with the promise long before the promise comes to pass. Because the spirit man is very visual. Now look at Mark 11:24. These are the words of Jesus. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you what things soever you desire when you pray. That means when I go to pray, I know what I want. That's been the confusion of some, you know, we pray, do something, God, do anything. Oh, help, oh Lord, help. I'm struggling here, I need something. No, you find the will of God. Find the will of God. That's why John 15 put it this way, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask what you will. With the word in you, then you know the will of God for you. You know what God wants. You know what he did yesterday that you can have today. And you go with that kind of desire. This was provided yesterday. It's mine yesterday. I'm believing it today. And I know tomorrow, 5 minutes from now, 5 years from now, 5 months from now, it comes to pass. Well, he said, when you pray, believe you receive. When you pray today, when you're praying today, when you're praying today, today, when you're praying, believe that you receive it. It didn't say see that you receive. It says believe it. And then it says you shall have it. That's tomorrow. If you believe it today when you prayed, you will have it tomorrow. The only way you can believe it today as you pray is if you have the promise of it from yesterday. You see that, don't you? Oh, hallelujah. Now, you know that, well, look at Joshua. We'll just look at it. Joshua 6. the walls of Jericho. When God decides on something, he counts it done. In verse 2, he talks about Jericho. That's the first city they're going to take after crossing the river. The Lord said, I have given into thy hand Jericho. He didn't say, I will give it to you. He said, I've given it to you. Well, they can look across the river. They can see the city. The city's walled. Those walls were so wide, they could run two chariots side by side. This is no minor city and no little fence. There were houses on that wall, and two chariots could run side by side. And God said, I've given that to you. I've given that to you. I have given that. See, that's past tense. He's already given it to them. Well, they don't have it. How are they going to get it? Well, he tells them exactly how they're going to get it. He tells them what to do. He said, if you go around that wall once a day for 6 days, that's verse 3, around the city once a day for 6 days. Well, you know they go around the first day, nothing's happened. You got to keep your eyes on the promise. This is our city. This is my city. Because that's what God said. Well, it's our city. They went around the second day. Nothing happened. See, we got our eyes on the manifestation on, I need this, I need this, but I need this, but I'm in pain. But I don't want this surgery. I don't like this prescription. I even heard, I don't like this doctor. I said, so ask God, can you get a new one? I mean, no use suffering with a face you don't like. I mean, well, I don't know. Third day, nothing happened. Fourth day, nothing happened. Fifth day, nothing happened. 6 days, they walked around that wall, saw nothing. Nothing happened. But God had said, this is your city. I gave you this city. This is your city. I've given you this city. You see, when God makes a promise, it's sealed in cement. It's done. It's already done. It's finished. It's done. In the eyes of God, everything is in order to bring this to pass. And all he wants me to do today, right now, today, when I pray, is to believe that it's my city. Just believe that it's my city. And then he said, on the seventh day, if you walk around seven times, blow the trumpet, and everybody shouts, the walls will fall flat. Now, if you don't believe in a miracle, you should have stood outside those walls. Archaeologists say by the construction of those walls, they should have, I can't remember if it's inward or outward, they should have fallen in one direction. If they were going to fall at all, they would have fallen inward. Maybe it was outward, I forget. But they fell in the opposite direction because God proves himself strong. Amen. And archaeologists have looked at what they found of those and said, they can't fall that way. But they did. So I got the easy part. I don't have to do a thing. I don't have to perform it. I don't have to fix it. I don't have to put it together. Shh. Is that amazing? Now look at 2 Kings. I want to show you something else. And this is real important. You have two sets of eyes. Did you know that? You're a spirit being living in a physical body. I draw that for you every now and then. Here's a physical spirit man living in a physical body. Now, you don't think that spirit man does not have eyes. It says he was made in the image of God, and it says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro. God's a spirit being. He has eyes. If I'm a spirit being, I've got eyes in the spirit, just like I've got physical eyes. Our problem is we look for things with our physical eyes that can only be seen with our spiritual eyes. Now, if you read Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1, he talks about the eyes of your understanding. That's in the spirit. That's in the spirit. I can see things and know things that I couldn't see with my mind, with my physical eyes. So we have two sets of eyes. This proves this. And when you're believing in the provision, you're seeing that with the eyes of the spirit. Don't look for it with your physical eyes. You can't see it that way. Now here Elisha made the king mad. King Assyria made him real mad, and he's going to kill Elisha. When he finds him, he's going to kill him. He sent an army. He found out Elisha was in Dothan. That's verse 13. So he sends, verse 14, horses and chariots, a great host. After one man, can you believe that? They came by night, compassed the city. When the servant of the man was risen early and gone forth, he got up early to do his usual morning chores, beheld a host compass the city with chariots and horses, and with his servants said unto him, that's 2 Kings 6. I said that right. I know I did. 6, chapter 6. Verse 14, the king sent horses and chariots. He's after Elisha. He's going to kill him. And when the servant of the man, verse 15, was risen early, gone about his usual chores, he looked across the wall of the city, and he said, "Ooh, my master, what shall we do?" He saw all those horses, all those chariots. He saw those with his physical eyes. He looked and saw the king's horses, the king's chariots. He saw a great host, many, many, many of them. He saw them. He goes back to Elisha and said, "What are we ever going to do?" And Elisha went to God and said, "Open his eyes." Now, his eyes were open. That's what frightened him. He went to that wall. His eyes were open. He saw horses. He saw chariots. He knows we are toast. And Elisha said, open his eyes. But see, we have two sets of eyes. You have your physical eyes. I'm not looking for my healing with my physical eyes. I'm looking for it with my spiritual eyes. My spiritual eyes are tuned in to the promise of God. I have the spirit of wisdom, revelation, the eyes of my understanding, the eyes of my spirit can be opened till I can see clearly what God sees, and I can hold fast to his promise until my physical eyes. Tomorrow will be the performance of it. Tomorrow your physical eyes, and your, that includes the whole realm of your senses, tomorrow they'll see. Tomorrow you will see physically, but you can't see that today. Today you use your spiritual eyes. Well, when Elisha prayed, that's in verse 17. Lord, I pray thee, open thy eyes that he may see. Lord, open the eyes of the young man. He saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. That was the company of God, the company of angels. He was only seeing physically. That's what caused us to stump our toe with healing. Instead of looking at the promise with our spiritual eyes and say, thus saith the Lord, shh, I am healed, I am whole. I know God can. Well, yeah, but will he? Did he? Did he? You know, there's only one reference to Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. When Jesus went to heaven, he sat down. And every reference has him sitting down. And he isn't going to stand again until God sends him for the church. The only reference to him standing is in Acts when Stephen was martyred. And he said he saw Jesus standing. Jesus stood at the Father's right hand to welcome Stephen, his faithful servant, home to heaven. He said, come on in, son. Welcome home. Welcome home. Otherwise, he's sitting. That means he is praying. He's busy interceding for the church, interceding for those that will come to him. And all we have to do is join him and sit down. You hear me? Quit churning and stirring yourself. This doesn't help anybody but me, but the first sermon, maybe, I don't know. The first sermon that was preached in here, I didn't preach. The first time we had healing school, which has been about 10 years ago, was you're going to die, so what? It helped me so much. It helped me monumentally. It's in the introduction to our book on healing. The first sermon that was preached in healing school, the first sermon was taught was, you're going to die, so what? Oh, okay. And that helped me put aside every fear I had of dying. I am going to die. Yeah. But I'm not going today. That's what the devil wants. He wants you to get over there churning. You know, what if I go today? What if I die? What if I die? What if I die? I'm just a pilgrim here. Heaven is my home. You see what I'm telling you? If you continually look at yesterday's promise with the eyes of the Spirit, Let your heart, it says we believe in our heart. Let your heart see what God has said. Read what God did yesterday and say, I believe yesterday's promise. Today, I believe that promise. And don't let anything cause you to be afraid, not even death. I talked to a little lady. She wrote a book about her husband. He's since gone to be with the Lord. He lived 30, 40 years after this. Somebody handed me that book. I was new at Pentecost. I didn't know much of anything. And they said, do you know how this happened? And I said, well, I don't know. I'll read it. He had cancer, and he had an office. And so he went to his office till he could no longer. They practically tied him to his chair. He was determined to walk in faith, act in faith. But he got where he just collapsed. And so they've had to put him in the hospital. And he was believing God. And he told his wife, he felt himself slipping away. He says, I am not going to die. He said, you hold fast to me in the spirit. She had a vision God granted her that helped her hold fast to him. The night the doctor came in and said, he will not be alive in the morning, he will die tonight. She was waiting. When all of a sudden, the nurses came running. He rattled when he breathed. You could hear him breathing all the way down the corridor. And the rattle quit, and the nurses thought he had died, and they came running. But he had fallen asleep and had been totally healed. Just hours before he would have died. I still have that book. Well, I ran out of copies. I loaned one and loaned one. You know, I give my books away. I don't loan my books. I will buy you one. I will not give you mine because you will not return it. So, you know, it was, what? How long was it, Wayne? 10, 15 years? We found her. I talked to her on the telephone. Myself, precious, precious lady. She said, I forget what her name, Lawson, I think her name was. She said, well, honey, you know Mr. Lawson is gone to be with the Lord already. But he did live 40 years without another bout of disease. But I'm going to tell you, read that book, and you know what you notice from cover to cover? He had his eyes on yesterday. He never flinched. Even when they said he's going into a coma, he said, you hold on to me, I'm going to not be able to hang on to myself. And a precious pastor came in, didn't know any better, and he said, honey, it'll be all over in the morning. She never let that bother you. See, there are some things that we have to overlook that we cannot let bother us. Just can't. She was not moved. She wasn't moved by anything. She said, I ordered a dozen books, and she signed the first five or six. I kept a couple of them with her signature. Precious story. But I'm going to tell you, yesterday he died for you. Yesterday, it was yesterday. It's not tomorrow he's coming. It was yesterday he came. And all I have to do today is believe that he was here yesterday. Hallelujah. You get that, don't you? And I have to believe it not because I see things with my eyes or feel things with my body. That's what I'm trying to tell you, these examples. It's not because I feel like I'm losing or I feel like I'm in great pain. It has nothing to do with what I see or feel physically. It has to do with my inner eyes, the eyes of my spirit, the promises of God that I'm embracing and holding fast to in the spirit. And then one day I'll wake up and it has happened. It says, if you believe you receive it, it will happen. If you believe you receive it, it will happen. If you believe, it will happen. We get our eyes on the will happen. And we're believing it will happen, not believing that we've received it yesterday. You see, we got to make that change in our thinking. Well, thank you, Father. They've listened very carefully, and I thank you that you make it clear to each of us. And that we don't get our eyes on the pain, the trauma, the diagnosis, the family, the friends, the impossibility. We just keep our eyes on you in the scripture, and we thank you. You said if we believed it today because of yesterday, we would have it tomorrow, and we believe that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.